Next is in the matter of Neil Brunson. May we please have appearances?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Deputy Ethics Counsel Colleen Burden for the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Mr. Brunson, we always start with the OAE, but I wanted to ask you a question or two to begin, just to make sure that we have an understanding here. There's a default in this matter. Did you respond to the complaint?
I have not responded to the complaint.
Have you submitted anything to this court?
No, not at this point, Judge.
You understand you can't argue the merits of a case in a default without seeking to vacate. And to vacate, you have to come forward with a basis to demonstrate why you would have merit. And you've done none of that here.
Judge, Justice, I'm suffering from a number of medical conditions at this point that make it very difficult for me to respond. I have cataracts, and I've gone through a period of 3 years of various medical issues that make it very difficult for me.
So I'll give you ample opportunity to explain, but is your purpose here today to tell us about the medical condition or try to speak to us about a case where we have a default judgment entered?
Well, Judge, Justice, I have to apologize. I'm used to appearing in the Superior Court and not in this.
I'm not insulted by that terminology. Don't worry.
Okay. No, I do have ample material to submit to this court in regards to the specific allegations that have been raised by counsel.
We can't do that today. You understand this is not a plenary hearing.
No, I understand that. But, you know, to my understanding as to what Chief Justice, you were asking me was, do I have sufficient information to reply to the merits, despite the fact that it's in default? I can make an application and a motion to vacate that default, and I would like the opportunity to do that.
And can you tell us why you haven't done so until now?
I am suffering from, as I said, you know, a severe visual impairment that has gone on for the last year and a half. And that impairment has led to just a very severe depression on my part and anxiety associated with it. I've never gone through, there are many reasons why I would love to stand in front of this court. This is not one of them. So.
All right. Why don't you have a seat? We'll begin with the OAE, and then I'll turn to you as soon as their presentation is concluded. Ms. Burden.
Yes, thank you. Just for the record, Your Honor, the OAE was not aware that Mr. Brunson was appearing today. He did not file any brief. He did not notify this court, which would then have notified the Office of Attorney Ethics that he would be appearing today. The OAE does agree with the board that respondent be disbarred for the totality of his unethical conduct. I can go through the facts of the case if you so wish.
Please.
Yes. So the most important case that we're here on today would be XIV 2022-0207E. This case proceeded by way of default to the Disciplinary Review Board due to the failure of Mr. Brunson to file an answer to the complaint. Therefore, all of the facts as stated within the complaint are essentially admitted by Mr. Brunson by way of his failure to answer. In that case, he represented a Miss Cheryl Bellinger Murphy. Essentially, he was assisting Miss Murphy in the estate of her deceased mother. Mr. Brunson did come into several insurance proceeds checks from which he deposited into his attorney business account, I believe. And instead of sending those checks to Ms. Bellinger Murphy, who is entitled to those proceeds, he instead took approximately $6,000 in attorney's fees from the estate's funds. There's no proof that respondent was entitled to that $6,000 withdrawal. And therefore, respondent did violate RPC 1.15A and the principles of Wilson and Hollandonner. The OAE would like to point out that Mr. Brunson has been very non-cooperative throughout this entire investigation. Several times he would show up, if at all, to our demand interviews unprepared. He would say he needs to seek counsel, and he would come back without counsel. It was just very hard to get into communication with him. Therefore, our office would personally serve him the grievance on this case and the grievance on XIV 2022-0129E.
Did he rely on his medical condition during those matters?
We were aware of Mr. Brunson's medical issues that he stated to us. However, he failed to provide any medical documentation in order to be granted any extensions due to his health. However, the OAE granted numerous extensions for Mr. Brunson in both cases for many, many months until finally we just filed the complaint and moved forward with the cases. When it comes to XIV 2022-0129E, Mr. Brunson represented for purposes of today, we will refer to her as KN. She asked Mr. Brunson to represent her in a case involving a class action lawsuit for the when she was incarcerated at the Edna Manhattan Correctional Facility for Women. And there's a class action lawsuit approved for payments for people who were submitting claims to this settlement administrator. Essentially, it was female inmates who were sexually assaulted within the prison. So she hired Mr. Brunson. He failed to tell his client that he was suspended from the practice of law during the time he took her on as a client. He acknowledged that the OAE had suspended him via text messages. He essentially told her he was working it out, and he also submitted a letter to the settlement administrator on her behalf with his name on the letterhead, essentially indicating he was her counsel of representation. So in effect, Mr. Brunson did violate RPC 1.4B by failing to return KN's telephone calls or text messages or to contact her in a timely manner to keep her reasonably informed about the status of her case. RPC 1.E by improperly providing $2,075 in financial assistance to KN in connection with pending or contemplated litigation. RPC 5.5A1 by practicing law while suspended in violation of the court's July 22nd, 2021 order when he met with and agreed to represent KN as a new client, provided her with legal advice, and submitted class action settlement paperwork on her behalf. Mr. Brunson has also violated RPC 7.5 by using his letterhead and holding himself out as a practicing attorney while suspended when he submitted the class action settlement documents to the EMCFW settlement administrator. Mr. Brunson violated RPC 8.1B by failing to appear for the January 9th and March 6th, 2023 demand interviews, appearing for the January 24th, 2023 demand interview, but being unprepared to answer questions, appearing for the January 27th, 2023 demand interview, but purportedly refusing to answer our questions and failing to respond to the OAE's lawful demands for information. And finally, RPC 8.4C by misrepresenting to KN the status of his license to practice law. If the court has any questions.
Two different areas. One, there's a reference that the OAE had done financial reconstruction of respondents' attorney trust account transactions, and that during the period of February through June of 2021, there were six cash withdrawals totaling nearly $128,000, as well as some electronic transfers. Can you shed any light on that and tell us whether there's anything that would suggest those were improper transactions, improper withdrawals?
I do believe at this time, due to Mr. Brunson's lack of cooperation and his lack of discussing those withdrawals with the OAE, we could not necessarily pinpoint whether those were appropriate transactions or not.
And second, can you tell us your position on reopening the proceedings at this stage?
The OEE would vehemently object to reopening anything at this point. Mr. Brunson has been given many numerous opportunities to respond, whether it's to the Office of Attorney Ethics, whether it's to the Disciplinary Review Board or the Supreme Court of New Jersey, and he's failed to do so on numerous occasions.
Questions, anyone?
No.
Anything you'd like to add, Counsel?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brunson, please. And if you could tell us why you did not give advance notice to the Office of Attorney Ethics that you would be appearing here today. You obviously went to some effort to appear.
Yeah, I went through considerable effort to appear here today, Chief Justice. I don't really have a very good professional relationship with that office, and I found that there were difficulties in terms of communicating. It was asserted to this court that I have been uncooperative, and I would disagree with that. I think I had three interviews. I've answered all the questions except for questions concerning KN because I didn't have sufficient information as it related to that particular set of circumstances. And I had become very, very concerned that there were really questionable issues concerning KN's conduct in regards to that. It was not. It was a situation where KN was permitted to file a claim in regards to the institutional sexual assaults that she had suffered, and because there was a time frame. Going back, she and I are friends. I have known her for years. Because she had failed to file the paperwork in regards to that claim in a timely fashion, she had lost the right to proceed in the context of bringing her own independent action outside of the class action that was involved.
And
so,
may I interrupt for a second and then I'll let you resume. Because we have a default, once again, and no application to vacate,
right.
Have you medical records that you are prepared to present as part of an application to vacate?
I have medical records associated with my cataracts. I have medical records associated with a severe left eye infection that created some of the issues that I had alleged or asserted to this court.
Have you given them to the OAA?
They have never asked for that.
This is your application. Have you given them to the OAA?
Excuse me? No, I have not.
Have you in any way directed them to the court?
I have not directed them to the court, nor have I given them to OE, but they have never asked for those records as well. And I had always been prepared to present those records if that's what was required. There was a breakdown in communication, and I'm not necessarily blaming them in the sense that they were in some way unprofessional about it. But my medical conditions were leading to a really severe form of depression on my part. I've never gone through this type of set of circumstances before. My health has always been very good. My relationship with my clients have always been very good. And I found that things were just becoming more and more difficult.
What would you like to do today?
I would like to make an application to vacate. And I would like to submit the records. I vehemently disagree with the assertions in regards to the state of Dorothy Rebecca Bellinger. I have a retainer agreement. I met with them. I have substantially earned that $6,000 fee, and that they were fully aware of those things. Likewise, in regards to KN, she was fully aware of the work that I had provided in terms of submitting the form application. I never indicated to her that I was going to represent her. In fact, I specifically said to her, if you want, her case was so severe. I said, if you want to proceed civilly, even though it appears as if you have breached the statute of limitations in regards to submitting an independent claim. You can do that, all right? And you should do that. And she said, no, this, I want it to go simply administratively. I just want the money.
So, Mr. Brunson, why don't we do this? And I want to be clear, you cannot make an oral application to vacate and expect that the court would rule on it. That's not the appropriate way to proceed. You'll need, if you choose to go down this road, and if the outcome of the proceeding permits it, you'll need to do all of that in the appropriate way. And I can't give you legal advice as to how to do that, but it can't happen now. Beyond that, as courtesy, if you'd like to briefly address these two matters in the next 5 or 10 minutes, we'll allow you to do so. But this is not a full-fledged hearing. Please go ahead.
Okay, so I've already spoken briefly in regards to Kayan.
Yes.
All right, that it was an administrative filing in regards to her application for either a tier one, tier two, or tier three grant of specific benefits in regards to the class action suit. And as a part of that, I helped her prepare the form. Submitted the attached documentation associated with KN, got the appropriate affidavits, and then submitted them. There were certain difficulties dealing with the administration of that because I could never get any confirmation that KN's application had been properly filed and was a part of the record. So I did make repeated phone calls to them. I did not represent as counsel, but I said, did these records reach you in the time? Because the time frame when I was assisting her was extremely narrow in order to get those out. Now, subsequent to that, KN wanted to reverse herself in regards to presenting a civil matter. She had her boyfriend contacted me and essentially asked me to perjure myself and not necessarily present all of the facts associated with the submission of the documents.
In the limited time that we have now, may I suggest that you focus on the more significant matter that subjects you to this barment, the estate matter.
Okay. So in terms of Dorothy Rebecca Bellinger's matter, represented her or the estate in that matter. I prepared a retainer agreement associated with that. I met with her. I met with her brother. She has two brothers, and one was telephonically. All of that was submitted. Appropriate renunciation forms were filed in order to proceed. I did receive two checks from the insurance company. One was submitted directly to the bank in regards to the delinquency in the mortgage. The other one was deposited, not in my business account, but into my trust account. And when those two checks, when the one check had cleared my trust account, I had a meeting with Ms. Bellinger. And at that point, I was issued the $6,000. By that point, I had gone through a substantial amount of work. All right. Not only did the matter hit my desk late, but there was also questions concerning the nature of the fire that caused Mrs. Bellinger's death. When she died as a result of the fire, the fire marshals of Derry City were still in the process of investigating the matter and would not issue a final report. Likewise, the coroner would not issue a final report in that regards because there were, I guess, some suspicion as it related to Dorothy Bellinger's acts or failure to act in regards to the fire. I helped with the adjustment of the claim, took the photographs, met with the adjuster associated with the property damage, continued to go through all of the subsequent issues as it related to the adjustment of the claim, and finally got them to recognize the claim. I still had to work in regards to the coroner. I still had to work in regards to the fire marshal. And eventually I did get those reports so all of that could be issued.
Was there a written retainer agreement
yes.
in the case?
Yes, a written
And you have a written copy of that agreement?
I have a written copy of it. And on my computer system, And I believe in the actual file, I have the fully executed copy of it.
You believe or you're representing that you actually do?
No, I met with her and I believe she did sign it that day. I don't like to make a statement that I'm unsure of. I didn't. I reviewed the computerized records associated with her matter, and I have a digital copy of them. As I indicated to the court, we met at the house, and I believe that that's when she executed that document.
Did you get advance approval for the $6,000?
It was at that meeting. By the time I was paid, I had already worked the matter for 2 months. I had already worked the matter for 2 months.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just renew my application to vacate.
I just want to be crystal clear.
I have to do that by procedure.
There is no pending application before the court, and you cannot achieve that in this hearing.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. We will take the matter under advisement. Thank you, counsel.